hour's time. That's our Sunday concert at 2. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock now. Time for the news from David Cornett.
The Foreign Office has repeated its call for President Assad of Syria to step down after he warned of an earthquake if the West intervened in his country. In an interview with the Sunday Telegraph, President Assad said Western intervention could turn Syria into another Afghanistan. More than 3,000 people have died in protests in Syria since March. Yesterday alone, it was reported that up to 50 protesters and members of the security forces had been killed. The Foreign Office said President Assad was resorting to brutal military force. The Bishop of London, Richard Charters, has addressed the anti-capitalism movement outside St Paul's Cathedral, saying he doesn't want the protest to end in violence. When questioned by a protester, Dr Charters declined to say whether he would support an eviction, but in the past he has said he wants the demonstration to move on. At least 200 tents are on the land outside St Paul's. The Prime Minister has announced that ships sailing under a British flag will be able to carry armed guards to protect them from pirates. Mr Cameron said it was a complete insult that Somali pirates were holding the world to ransom. It's thought the policy could apply to up to 200 ships in the Merchant Navy, which regularly sail past the Horn of Africa. Some countries have laws against armed guards passing through their waters. Egypt recently banned them from the Suez Canal. Emergency talks are underway in Australia to try to get Qantas planes back in the air. The airline grounded all domestic and international flights yesterday, including routes to and from London, as part of a long-running row with staff. Qantas said all flights will be grounded until at least the early hours of tomorrow. The government is planning to cut the council tax discount for people with second homes. Second homes currently receive up to 50% off the tax. The Community Secretary, Eric Pickles, will give more details tomorrow. And the weather, it'll be a dry, cloudy afternoon for most of the UK, but with some showers in southern England and heavier rain in northern Scotland. Temperatures will be mild for the time of year. There'll be more rain in western parts of the UK this evening. BBC News and Weather at 2 minutes past one.
David Cornett, thank you very much. So now on Radio 3, it's time for today's early music show, introduced by Lucy Skeeping.
Welcome to the show. We're hearing the opening piece of a concert given at St John's Smith Square in London, part of the 2011 Lufthansa Festival. The performers are the Montreal-based Ensemble Caprice, and their programme focused on the music of Georg Philipp Telemann, the German Baroque composer who was an almost exact contemporary of Bach and Handel. When he was in his mid-20s, Telemann went to work for Reichsgraf Erdmann II in what's now Żary in western Poland. In those days, as in so much of Europe, the cultural tastes of the rich and noble tended to ape those of Louis XIV's France. So, even in this great castle not far from the German border, the young composer was inevitably exposed to an awful lot of Lully-type French music. He would, though, have been familiar with local styles as well, especially when, in response to what historians called the Great Northern War, the entire court was forced to flee south for a few months. Now, in the countryside around Krakow and Pless, Telemann fell in love with the traditional Polish and Moravian melodies he heard, gypsy music which would have a profound impact on him. What wonderful imaginative ideas these pipers and fiddlers have as they improvise, he wrote. In only a week, a composer would be inspired for an entire lifetime. Indeed he was, and it's this link between traditional gypsy music and Telemann's own compositions that was the inspiration for this concert, which was led and part introduced from the stage by the group's effervescent recorder player, Matthias Mauter.
Thank you.
Gypsy music from the Uchrovska collection, performed there by Ensemble Caprice, led by recorder player Matthias Mauter, part of their concert given at St John's Smith Square. Music like that, that Telemann heard in the Polish countryside, had its origins amongst the Romani Sinti, a nomadic people whose roots probably lay in the Indian subcontinent. It would have been improvised and passed on down the generations through the oral tradition. So we're very fortunate that in 1730, a scholar put together 350 of these gypsy melodies in a large volume, the Uchrovska collection. It's a fantastic treasure trove of Eastern European folk music, representing Hungarian, Polish, Slovakian and many other geographically indefinable influences. Only tunes are printed, since it was assumed any accompaniment or arrangement would be improvised. And indeed, Matthias Mauter and his group have done just that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Roma and Sinti took off a long journey around the year 1000 AD from India all the way to Europe. It's been a long trip. They arrived at around the 15th century in Paris. It took up until the 21st century to reach finally London. Telemann wrote some of his music based on inspiration by itinerary musicians. And his next piece, the Caprice Symphony, contains music of all different styles. The Italian style, the French style, the Scottish style, the Polish style, which would be pretty much what gypsy-like musicians would play, and last, but certainly not least, the English style. I leave it up to you to decide which movement has been written in which style. This is the Caprice Symphony. Thank you.
Telemann's Grillen Symphony, which features all sorts of national styles, including that of the Polish gypsies, whose passionate melodies so enchanted the composer. Ensemble Caprice are eight in number, led by flute and recorder player Matthias Mauter and co-director Sophie Lariviere. They've been at the forefront of early music performance for more than two decades, appearing throughout Europe, America, and as far afield as Israel and Taiwan. "We have lived with this music for some years," Mauter says of this gypsy repertoire. "Yet we continue to discover ever-fresh nuances." You can see very well what he means in the next three pieces, all of them again from the Uchrovska collection. Wild percussive dances and strong stamping rhythms introduced by wistful interwoven melodies from the violin and flute.
Thank you.
Applause there for those three short pieces of traditional gypsy music from the Uchrovska collection compiled in the first half of the 18th century. You're listening to The Early Music Show here on Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping, and we're hearing highlights from a concert given by Ensemble Caprice entitled Telemann and the Gypsies. And in this next set, we have three pieces by Telemann. Some great recorder playing in two movements from Telemann's Sonata in D minor and also in the high-speed Presto that ends the set. And in between, we'll hear another traditional gypsy melody arranged by Ensemble Caprice. First, though, a short improvisation on harpsichord, an instrument on which Telemann was himself an expert. But I'll let the group's director, Matthias Mauter, introduce it all from the stage.
Isn't life terribly sad? Telemann, he knew about it. He has met the itinerant musicians. The next set of pieces shows that kind of meeting, Telemann meeting itinerant musicians. After a movement of a trio sonata by Telemann, you hear one piece of the collection from 1730 that goes right into a modere, into a chaconne by Telemann that sounds, as far as harmonies go, exactly like his colleagues from the Far East. And this set is being finished by the presto from the same trio sonata. And again, you just get the feeling he wrote up what he had listened to when he was out there in Poland. Thank you.
Ensemble Caprice and highlights from their concert given at St John's Smith Square, part of the 2011 Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music. We heard movements from a Telemann sonata and a quartet, and also an example of the traditional gypsy music that inspired the works. Another set of gypsy tunes next, and here the group's two violinists, Oliver Braut and Thomas Rink, get the chance to demonstrate their virtuosity in a couple of dances which feature all sorts of changes of rhythm and tempo. The set ends with a folk song of lost love, for which the group are joined by the singer Belinda Sykes. Belinda Sykes with a traditional love song, ending that set of folk music from Eastern Europe performed by Ensemble Caprice. Well, this concert highlighted the link between Telemann and the traditional gypsy music he heard in the countryside, and we'll let him have the last word today. This is his famous four-movement concerto in E minor for recorder and flute, and it reveals not just the Baroque Telemann we know and love, but also, especially in the final movement, the extraordinarily rich Polish folk music that inspired him. The contrast, the dazzling shifts from one style to another, and the rich harmonies must have intrigued his audiences back in the 18th century, and they sound just as fresh and spontaneous today. So for the last time, here's Ensemble Caprice with flautist and recorder players Sophie Lariviere and Matthias Mauter, who directs the group. Thank you. Ensemble Caprice with Telemann's Concerto in E minor for recorder, flute, strings and continuo. The final piece they performed in their concert entitled Telemann and the Gypsies, given at St John's Smith Square, part of the Lufthansa Festival. Sophie Lariviere and Matthias Mauter were the two soloists there, and Mauter also directed the group. And that's it for today's programme. I hope you'll join me next time.
Today's Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced by Chris Wines. And you may like to know that the Early Music Show is available on a weekly basis now as a podcast. See the Radio 3 website for further details. And you may like to know also that another Baroque composer is Donald MacLeod's Composer of the Week all this coming week, Alessandro Scarlatti, the first of those programmes on Radio 3 tomorrow afternoon at midday, or again at 6:30 in the evening.
He's one of the greatest opera singers of all time, with a voice and face known far beyond the realm of classical music. In his 70th birthday year, Placido Domingo returns to the Royal Opera House to perform complete acts from three great Verdi operas with special significance for him as a singer and actor: Otello, Rigoletto and Simon Boccanegra, intense characters driven to extreme actions. It's sure to be one of the operatic occasions of the year. So join me, Andrew McGregor, for the Placido Domingo celebration at the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden, 40 years after his first appearance on that famous stage. Opera on 3, Saturday evening from 6 on BBC Radio 3.
And two more operatic dates for you before then here on Radio 3, both of them on Thursday, in fact. In the evening, Bartók's Duke Bluebeard's Castle is one of the works being performed by the Philharmonia Orchestra in Radio 3 Live in Concert. That's from the Royal Festival Hall. The concert begins at 7:30 on Thursday evening. And, of course, we've our regular Thursday afternoon opera matinee. This week, it's Massenet's Werther from the Vienna State Opera, with a cast led by Jonas Kaufmann and Sophie Koch as Werther and Charlotte. Join Louise Fryer for that from 2:00 on Thursday afternoon. And it's a little after 2:00 this Sunday afternoon on BBC Radio 3, exactly 2:02, in fact, as I'm speaking to you. And it's time for our Sunday concert, recorded recently in Cardiff. It's presented by Catherine Finch.
Welcome to St David's Hall. Today, the BBC National Orchestra of Wales is joined by its associate guest conductor, François-Xavier Root. It's a programme of Richard Strauss and Benjamin Britten, and there'll be three soloists joining us. In the first half, the French oboist François Leleu will perform Strauss's Oboe Concerto, written at the end of the Second World War. Then, after the interval, cellist Tim Hugh and viola player Lawrence Power will play the lead roles in Strauss's dramatic tone poem, Don Quixote. First, though, we'll hear the closest thing to a purely orchestral symphony that Britten ever wrote, his Sinfonia de Requiem, composed at the beginning of the war in 1939. The Japanese government wanted a piece to mark the 2,600th anniversary of the Mikado dynasty the following year. But when Britten produced a work quoting from the Requiem Mass, it was rejected. The Japanese said it was purely a religious music of Christian nature, and that it had a melancholy tone. And in the end, they took a piece by Richard Strauss instead, his Japanese festival music. Britten's Sinfonia de Requiem was eventually performed in 1941 in New York, where the composer lived for the first 3 years of the war as a conscientious objector. He said he was making the piece as anti-war as possible, and at the time of the premiere he thought it was his best work, one that was personal and intimate. There are three movements performed continuously, with the titles taken from the Mass for the Dead, Lacrimosa, Dies Irae, and Requiem Aeternam. So here to perform Britten's Sinfonia de Requiem at St David's Hall in Cardiff, it's the BBC National Orchestra of Wales and conductor François-Xavier Root.